And welcome, welcome, welcome. Good morning, good morning, good morning, dear listeners, wherever you find yourself. This is your brand conversation on your number one talk radio station of Eagle FM. Well, I do hope that your morning has started as invigorating as mine, but our invigoration will continue in the form of this morning's brand conversation discussion. And it's actually where we left off with the green marketing platform or topic or, you know, perspective. Now, we ended off where green marketing also has a, not a tendency, but also includes the consumer group that comes from the health and wellness lifestyle of health and wellness, or it has a different acronym, a different abbreviation unto itself, sometimes deemed as the, just want to get that right, before LOHAS. I was about to say HOLAS, but LOHAS. Now, the LOHAS stands for Lifestyles of Health and Sustainability Demographic. Now, remember with green marketing is not similar to sustainability marketing. Stressing that once again this morning, green marketing is not sustainability marketing. Green marketing, however, forms part of the sustainability marketing discussion because sustainability is where you are, as a marketer, you try to encompass an overall, on sort of like an umbrella approach towards the way you produce, the way you operate, the way you have day-to-day administrations and various other kinds of operational tasks within your organization. You take it from that broad perspective to try and streamline and see where the sustainability value proposition can come out, because you need to offer it to the consumer. Green marketing has a totally different perspective to it. Although it forms part of the sustainability aspect, it has a green element, meaning it has one or other kind of direct value proposition that you're talking to. One direct one. An example, and these are just one of the other examples that I gave back on Friday, is that your products are either made from recycled material, or that the product or the packaging material of it, of the product itself, is somehow part and parcel of an overall kind of recollective, recapturing system that you've got in place that captures the product. When you use it, it goes into the trash or into the garbage, but you as an organization, you recapture it in some or other way in order to repurpose it, bring it back into the production or into your manufacturing process, and then once again put it into the consumption framework. Now, the LOHAS guys, the Lifestyles of Health and Sustainability, as mentioned, consumers are active supporters of environmental health, and they also are the heaviest purchasers of eco-friendly and socially responsible products. They also have the power to influence other consumers. Now, with the LOHAS demographic of consumers, that specific discussion I'm going to leave over for tomorrow, because they have a specific kind of demographic approach that you need as a marketer to tackle on. If you come now with an approach of saying, listen, let's take the motoring market, or the motoring sort of like, I don't want to say demographic, but the vehicle sales industry itself, you know, doesn't matter if it's secondhand or brand new cars. The main product range, the main product width and depth is all about diesel and petrol powered engines, right? At the side, it's almost like a salad on your plate. You know, it's a side. It's on the periphery. It's not the main object. It's also not the main segment. But on the side, let's for example say that dealership is now also selling electric vehicles, or it's selling, What's that other car? There was a brand known as Smart Cars. Its name is Smart. And what Smart actually sold was one of the earliest forms of battery-powered cars. Yeah, it has a petrol engine in it, but the petrol, it's almost like a hybrid scenario. Now, for example, let's say the dealership sells predominantly diesel and petrol-based or petrol-powered cars. And on the side, it's extra product range. You know, an extension of the existing product range is a handful of electric vehicles and a handful of hybrid vehicles. But both the electric and the hybrid vehicles are exorbitantly priced so that you as the consumer, when you come to a dealership and you say, listen, I want to buy, I'm environmentally conscious. I'm someone that's got values in terms of I don't want to actively be a bad guy in contributing negatively to the environment. I actually want to drive a car that has a purpose, that provides that value, that looks at, you know, being environmentally aware, as well as also that it also, you know, sustains my own lifestyle in terms of, you know, promoting further value addition in the environmental awareness discussion. And now you as a consumer, you come to the dealership, but you see the bigger cars with the big diesel engines and petrol engines are slightly more affordable. I say more affordable, not cheaper, more affordable, because even the bank's car and vehicle asset or vehicle and asset financing department gives you a better deal on a diesel and a petrol engine car than on a hybrid and on an electric vehicle. Now, obviously, this firstly will baffle you as the consumer, because you will be standing there wondering, but, you know, I'm aware, I'm consciously of, you know, aware and also mindful of the environment, the role that society has to play in ensuring that, you know, natural resources and, you know, all that has to be maintained and needs to be there for the generations to come, the generations to come after me and my generation. So what's the logic? What's the rationale behind a car that aims to have value in terms of providing, you know, its waste is environmentally friendly and its operation as well. However, it's slightly more expensive than the normal products that are there at your disposal. That, firstly, is some of the conundrums that these lifestyles of health and sustainability consumers face. These are some of the things that they face. These are some of the things that, unfortunately, certain products still in our country, still in Southern Africa, and still on the continent, are also geared towards serving. So there's no rapid, you know, drive towards, let's try and serve a specific consumer demographic, a specific consumer mindset, a specific consumer demand, because there is a demand, guys, for environmentally friendly products. There is a demand, and this is what forms part of the green marketing discussion. If your company sells it, your company has it, or even if you are a trader, if you can import it, why not? If you can import it, why not? The second question would only be about the return on investment component. Is it cheaper to stock? Is it cheaper to import? Is it cheaper to store? Is it cheaper to package? Is it cheaper to sell? Is there an active absorption rate in terms of consumers? That's obviously the other dimension that you've got to factor in from your end as the business. Because your consumer can want something on this end, but you will obviously try and weigh up, is there active demand? Is there active absorption and consumption interest from the consumer? Is there? If there's not, obviously it doesn't make sense to import something that, you know, will just be gathering up dust on your shelves. Obviously it doesn't make sense to manufacture a product that will not be bought, because then you'd be allocating unnecessary resources, because it will be deemed unnecessary resources in manufacturing of this product, whereas the normal product or the normal versions of the product are still being actively sold. They are still being actively sold. Now, it does bring us up to the strategy. To the strategy of green marketing has a unique approach. Look, the unique approach already is in the name green. But beyond making an environmentally friendly product, beyond that, beyond starting off with that basic point of departure, a business owner can implement other tactics to create a business strategy that capitalizes on the benefits of green marketing. It is similar to the sustainability marketing approach. It is similar. It is not the same. Similar, not the same. However, from the green marketing approach, guys, what you can look at as a marketer or even as a business owner is that you can use eco-friendly paper and even ink for print marketing materials. For example, and we're not talking about your office supplies. Office supplies is like your printing paper there in the office for your administrative purposes. But that's also an initiative. That in itself is also an initiative, but it plays more in the sustainability corner or in the sustainability part of marketing, because if you are looking at your operations, your day-to-day operations, your day-to-day administration, that in itself has a contributing factor. It does. Because you've got to look at what you need every day in terms of your business to operate. You will need printing cartridges for your printers and your scanners and your fax machines for those people who still use fax machines, as well as also you will need printing paper to come from your supplier. So you need to supply that. But then if you have active marketing campaigns on the other hand as well, then you know, having these setups in place, for example, a printer that uses, let's say, a tenth of energy or electricity than what a normal printer uses, for example, in its overall production processes. This is awesome, because ultimately what happens is that if you are consistently making use of the printer and also the paper, you are providing, you know, you would know then on your electricity bill, you are being environmentally aware. However, that's, as I said, in your overall administrative processes. That's not in you manufacturing the product. If you are in the business of being a printer, a printing business, for example, for sure, when we're now on the right line, because it's in your line of business. It's in your line of business. That means your overall production, your overall business model, your overall administrative processes fall in line with the same function, and then you can start looking at green technologies, for example, that factor into your own business model. And as I said, if you're in the marketing, marketing design, advertising business realm, because it's a superfluous business segment. Marketing, advertising, design, printing, business segment. It's superfluous in the sense that what I mean is that each role overlaps with another role. And it's superfluous. It can adapt and change and morph and move in a different direction if need be. In that same vein, making use of technologies that actively contribute. If you looked at standard printing process, it creates so much heat, it uses so much electricity, so much water, air conditioning as well for printing presses and printing machines or industrial scale printing machines, whether you even have them for textiles like printing on clothing. They also generate a lot of heat and they use a lot of electricity because they have to run for long times, for extended periods of time. So investing in a new printing press or in a new type of machine or equipment setup that is environmentally friendly, that is environmentally economic in energy use, electricity use, as well as also in the energy that it gives off. Because the biggest concerns with equipment and electronic hardware is the electricity it generates, the heat it generates. Sorry, not electricity, the heat. Sorry, not electricity. It consumes the electricity, but it gives off heat. And heat dispersion, if you buy or you invest in technology on equipment that is economically sort of like geared and designed to save you money on your electricity bill while you are busy producing your product, or in your own sense, production that gives you your money, that gives you your income, for sure, do so. The second scenario also is the marketing materials. Now, some marketing materials, guys, if you are in the, if your marketing department has, let's for example say you are now producing in-house marketing material for you, the manufacturer of or the business of this environmentally aware, environmentally conscious business, the first thing you've got to look at is materials that are either recycled or materials that are either have a high probability of being biodegradable. if you invest in materials that you can use for marketing promotions, that is environmentally friendly, first off, it gives you a big bonus because you know.
Gusa etokoro lyo uhunga. Lipopera nyamoge, popera wakweni. Ninka wakurugane yowamba. Wakurugane yowamba. Wakurugane yowamba, oweno urugansi sungumi. Mokutura mwe hundiro lye yowamba zuma okoko, ndimo gwana kuma pukuru gumanzi. Tumako WhatsApp kono morozo yutantantatu zime, ntatwe utantane, mbali ntambali, mbali ntane. Ndidingura ko Facebook, ko VMMC Namibia.
Speak your mind while respecting the opinions of others.
How can you say Namibia was brought on a silver platter when so many people were massacred?
No, that's not what I mean. Mm-hmm. I mean on the silver platter
in terms of the infrastructure.
Of the infrastructure. Mm-hmm. You know, there were schools, there were roads, there were.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
To grab that victory against Ivory Coast will be a big one for us. It will be the first.
For social position to raise a child. What does that mean? Baby dumping.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
The commander say hold fire, they hold fire. When the commander says fire, they fire. You know, they are trained to kill. We are trained to arrest people and bring them before court.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
That's why some of us wear unbranded clothes. Because it's about selling their product.
So talk on Eagle FM. Eagle FM, the eye. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Now, coming back from our extended break, the important thing to remember, guys, with green marketing is that it's all about providing environmentally friendly products or even processes. But the processes fall more in line with the sustainability marketing aspect than with the product sometimes itself. However, another green strategy that you can employ, and just before the ad break, was looking at your marketing materials or your use. Now, if you're an advertising agent, if you're a marketing department that has to generate your own communication materials as well as also use and procure the materials used for this process, you've got to look at the environmental impact that this process has. For example, posters, pamphlets, inserts, even if you go as far as electronic. Because in some cases, the use of or the types of materials that you make use of or use for your overall marketing materials also plays a role in terms of the pollution element as well as also in the validity, you know, the scope of validity. If you have to look at the pamphlets or inserts scenario, pamphlets and inserts are what you find in a newspaper. You know, those pull-out segments that you find from retailers, various businesses across the country. That's an insert. And if you've looked at some of the material that was used to print that communication on, some of them are gloss, some of them are laminated, laminated is something actually totally different, but some of them have been glossed over. Which is glossy print, almost like a magazine. Some of them are normal newspaper paper. Some of them are even a different kind of white paper used, which is sturdier, harder, and also a little bit more rigid in its design. Each one of these designs, you've got to look at the environmental impact that each, because it's a product. It's a product, ultimately. It's a product. And you've got to look at the design. You've got to look at the validity. You've got to look at the scope. In terms of its impact on the natural environment, is it made from recycled material or recycled paper? If not, you got to look at where you can even implement a green strategy in that regard. Your next approach, your next marketing strategy, green marketing strategy, you can look at is skipping printed materials altogether in favor of complete electronic marketing migration. Now, this obviously has an upside and a downside to you. Because as a marketer, you want to cover as much of a segment as possible, meaning market coverage, i.e. through communication or i.e. through product distribution. It's the same, it translates to the, almost the same approach and the same philosophy, but in each direction, you want to ensure that people know or have as much brand recall, as much brand recognition as possible through the various communication means that you make use of. Now, if you decide to scale down on printed material, printed marketing communication materials, if you decide to do this, you are effectively, it's almost like shooting yourself through the foot. It is, because with printed material, you know, physical, printed hard copy, as we call it in IT, in the IT sphere, hard copy and soft copy. If you go for hard copy, if you drop hard copy type kind of marketing material, and you only implement a soft copy strategy, an electronic one, it makes it difficult because in some cases you cut out specific segments of your consumer demographics. You also cut out specific segments of, you know, existing clients or potentially new clients, because not everyone will have access to said electronic channels that you want to get to. Some cases, guys, I've seen there was a stage where Facebook advertising and Google advertising were so good and so well at providing the necessary market coverage, but then you sit there thinking to yourself, is everyone going to see this message? Is everyone going to see this specific message on this specific platform at the same time? You knew if you placed your marketing material, let's say, for example, in a magazine or in a newspaper or on a TV or here on a radio station, like in our case with Eagle FM, there is also a specific demographic of listener, reader, viewer that you will reach. Going fully electronic, does it have its benefits? Yes, no. Is it going to cut off certain consumers? For sure. Are only certain consumers going to be able to see your products and your promotions? For sure. But then the question comes also, is there a retrievability? How long is that message going to be valid for? And how long is that message going to help your business overall marketing strategy carry forward your overall business model in terms of being of achieving survivability as well as also achieving profitability? Your next strategy, and this is another one, in terms of adopting responsible waste disposal practices. This one has been actually in operation for a very long time. I'm talking about a good 20 years, Namibia, South Africa, some parts of Africa, and across the world in other parts. The adopting responsible waste disposal practices is how a business or a organization actively invests in green marketing initiatives. You actively invest. Please do not misunderstand this for buying into, let's for example say, it's similar to a corporate social responsibility, but it's not. The Patagonia example I gave you last week and even on Friday, Patagonia, the clothing brand, the French clothing brand, is one of the best examples. Another example is some of, I think it's the beer brewing companies as well as also the soft drink companies. Soft drink companies are like Pepsi and Coca-Cola and, you know, the likes. They have their own waste disposal practices that they invested in. I say invested in because in some cases they actively market, bring back glass bottles, bring back your plastic containers, bring back this, bring back that, and you'll get one or other kind of either some kind of compensation or some kind of remuneratory aspect, either discount on the price if you buy a similar product, or you get like an active contribution, you know, or something else, you know, something in that line. Your next strategy is using eco-friendly or recycled materials for product packaging, which I already stressed, actually overstressed, because this is one of the first things that most companies would go for playing their part if they make a product that the packaging is aligned with a green process or comes from a green process initially. Another strategy you can employ is seeking all official certification for sustainability and, you know, just to communicate to your customers. If there's no way that you can demonstrate that it's made from recycled products or recycled waste, or there's no way that you can demonstrate to your customers that your process has this green the component to it, so that it encapsulates your entire philosophy in terms of providing or having a valid contribution to the environmental awareness component. If you go for these two, if you are in these two facets, in these two sort of like divisions or these two sectors, in terms of how you cannot actively prove, the best way is going for some form of certification. Now that, now certification would mean that there is an industry relevant organization that is not, well, it depends on how it is aligned, whether it's regulatory aligned. For example, like Eagle FM subscribes to CRAN and to MICT, and there's still a, you know, these kinds of sort of like industry relevant bodies, and also understanding the capacity in terms of which these regulatory bodies operate within. For example, if you are now, let's say, Patagonia, the clothing company that uses discarded clothing, you know, for recycling, you recycle it and then repurpose it into your products that you sell to your customers. If you go for that direction, there must be sort of like a labeling organization that says, yes, this is made from 100% recycled garments or clothing. Just a little bit of a label. And you should be able to indicate it clearly somewhere. Now, this is the kind of approach that you can take. In other cases, sometimes, because the green marketing strategy, this specific green marketing strategy, also plays in terms of sometimes people use these organic labels, made, you know, organic this, organic that. I know it's something that comes from America and from some parts of Europe, where there's been this major drive. But remember, guys, I'm going to keep this also for the lifestyles of healthy and sustainability conscious consumers in my discussion for tomorrow, because the organic labeling also speaks to where people don't want to, they want to know whether or not meat or dairy products or other animal products were organically manufactured. What do we mean by that? Well, next, for example, say if it's beef, that the cow is actually free range. That's what it means. Free range beef, or free range pork, or free range mutton, or free range goat, or free range chickens, or free range produced eggs. That's what they mean by organic. And if they speak about plant products, for example, like vegetables and fruits, that it is that not major, not much pesticides or chemicals were used in terms of the production process. For example, not in the water, not in the pesticides, also not in other kinds of, you know, supplements that were given to the plants in order to produce the produce. That's what they mean by organic. Nothing is produced. Now, that can qualify you for a specific official certification as well. That certification then says the practice, it's almost like going through another auditing sort of like review. The entire manufacturing practice is an organic practice. So this is organically certified by XYZ regulatory body or organization within the market. And that's what you strive to aim for, because you can convince a consumer demographic or a consumer group or an active consumer, you know, mentality to say, listen, we provide this. It is organically produced. No major supplements or chemicals used in production and so forth. here's the product. This is what you can also strive for. This is also the kind of green marketing strategy you can employ. Because you start convincing people a lot more that what you're producing, and you can sometimes use the word natural, but be careful with the word natural. Be careful with the word natural. Please, guys. You can use free range. You can use organically produced or complete organic product. But please do not use natural. People will ask you, what is natural? People will call you in on your customer service line and ask you, hi, you say you produce natural milk. What does that mean? Please, guys, be very aware of the labeling that you will employ in your marketing campaigns. Please, do not say something is natural and you can't explain the word natural. Please, if you mean free range, it's free range. If you're going to say organic, then you're saying that you're not adding any chemicals in the entire production or manufacturing process. Please be aware of the word natural. Please, I stress it. I will continue stressing it. Now, another green marketing strategy that you can also employ is using efficient packing and shipping methods. I stress this specific component on Friday in terms of the shipping. For example, that wherein some people were, you know, would import something, for example, from China or India or from Germany or from the United States. But there could be, you could, you know, be the middle person, the business in between that says, listen, I can give you the similar product with a similar kind of capabilities as well as also the overall aim that the product aims to serve. But you can import it from South Africa, or you can import it from Angola, or you can import it from Zimbabwe or Zambia or Botswana. It's just here. Now, packing and shipping methods is another thing that also is very heavy on the overall greenhouse gas emissions industry, because if you are importing something from China or India or the United States or Europe, it takes a long time for it to get here. There is major shipping costs that you've got to incur, for example, storage and warehousing, and then container management and clearing. And then you've got to look at import tariffs and taxes. And I've already listed five things on, you know, but this then actively shoots up the price that you can ask your, that you can charge your consumer at the end. Instead of if you were importing the same thing or something similar to it, or an alternative product that is also, that can also have a similar objective in serving a need or want of a consumer, then you can actively say, listen, I've got something from South Africa. Here's the price. Here's the relevant you know, details as well as also costings. It cuts down on shipping, it cuts down on storage, and you could potentially have a competitive price offering for your customer. But under current scenario, or the current situation as I have observed it, sometimes you see a product that comes from South Africa, same price as a product that comes from Europe. A product from South Africa has a higher price than a product coming from China or India. Or a product from South Africa has a equal or even higher price than a product coming from the United States. And you sit there asking yourself, but why? Why, if it's either the similar or an alternative that does the same thing and aims to provide the same kind of product satisfaction? Why? Why does this scenario happen? That, unfortunately, guys, is one of the biggest mysteries I'm still trying to understand, especially from South Africa, because for some reason the South Africans, I don't know if they view traders or people doing business with them from Namibia or from the rest of the continent as, you know, not being important clientele, and they can obviously see that there is clear demand being generated. However, we are just, you know, you are sometimes just considered to be not as important, so your pricing is not as favorable as a consumer than from within South Africa. Now, before we hit the next ad break, just finishing up with some of these smart green marketing strategies is that you can also make use of renewable energy and sustainable agricultural practices. Now, this is now looking towards manufacturing and agricultural practices, especially because some of the key things here is renewable energy is one said important factor in the overall green marketing complex, because I know guys, but you can make use of sustainable, well, it does for factor still into the sustainable marketing approach, but you can use other kinds of green approaches, for example, allowing your livestock to range, to walk freely around and not being stored up, for example, in like barns or in other agricultural processes where the animals are kept in containment areas, and then they have to produce milk, or it's for meat, or it's eggs, but you allow them to walk a little bit around, eat a little bit around, and, you know, just be free range. Obviously, with the renewable energy discussion, this would then, in most cases, speak to wind and solar energy. In most cases, wind and solar. Because in some cases, they have also found that large agricultural production units or setups across the world, they actually incur a big disadvantage themselves in terms of their energy usage, electricity usage. So one of the best practices would be rather to put up solar panels. And it is. Look, guys, there's no crime against it here in Namibia, but if it can help you with your production costs, especially if you're a farmer or a livestock producer or manufacturer, do so. Invest in solar energy. Do so. Because the downside is being connected or waiting for infrastructure being connected to where you are is going to cost you a lot more, because it'll be a cost burden of per kilometer or per meter in terms of cost that you have to carry. Whereas if you have solar panels on your production complex, that's now your farm. What extra costs can you incur? It's just about procuring the panels, procuring the labor or the skills, meaning the technicians that have to come and install it, connecting yourself to it, and there you go. Bob's your uncle. The last strategy you can employ or you can make use of is taking steps in order to offset your carbon emissions via investments. I see this in terms of a lot of and I'm now talking about in the overall automotive industry across the world. There's been major investments in ATVs. ATV stands for it's an adventure something vehicle. It's not a car. It can be a car, but it has a motorcycle engine. That's how big the engine is. It's pretty small. It's smaller than a one thousand cubic centimeter engine. Usually these would be for cars, but they are smaller than that, and it actually has a smaller engine in it. It can house four people, it can house two people. It's something similar to the golf carts that you find on golf courses. Yeah, but if you're now a farmer or someone, you know, who is in a pretty remote area, instead of investing in a car, you can invest in an ATV. It uses less fuel. It's easier to handle, it's smaller, and it can drive us just the similar distances as a normally functioning car. You obviously just don't have the similar kinds of accessories like radio and the other fancy stuff like air conditioning. It's very simple, it's very straightforward, and you can move with it. The other scenario is also in terms of carbon emissions would be looking at the renewable energy component. Because just look at it. If you install solar panels on your farm or in your complexes. For example, I made use of the example of Voormanbrokken themselves that installed solar panels on some of the shops 4 years back, 4-3 years back, taking them, you know, providing their input to the overall green discussion. These are the kinds of things that you can look at.
You always listen to your heart when you're in love. But why not listen to it when it warns you? Come on, deep in your heart, you know your risk of a heart attack increases with high blood pressure and cholesterol, smoking, obesity, diabetes, depression and stress. So listen to your heart, exercise, watch your weight and avoid tobacco. Call NHP on 061-285-5400 or visit www.nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
Hello Namibia. Indira pamanate muyuni walela pe. Lela pe onkaro ompu wa mafutiro no kuthisa ngoka haguningwa pamkaro gongondi hoka tovuru okutuminako omatumaraka goe agehe na ngoka go paipindi no taga dhanwa no kutuwa mombepo ethimbo ojo tuunjoka. Otovuru okuningashike ko lela pe. Otovuru okutura omatumaraka goe mombepo tarongisa oka epa ko Eagle FM nenge ka imba nenge hoka kalela pei nenge utire moshifo sho The Villager ni kwao ya gwedhapo. Otovuru okuninga omafutiro goye. Otovuru ishe okuturako omatumaraka goye viinima ya yoroka. Ngashi omatumaraka gorukozi, omatumaraka gomahio, omatumaraka gomaharero ya mbeko gomavaro, no matumaraka gokwarukehe ngoka wahara utseithere oshigwana ashikesho moNamibia okuza owarapo dorandatu ni siringa itano mitumaraka kehe. Lela pei oharongo ngini. Konga oka epa ko lela pei ko Play Store nenge ko App Store eto katura kakarekeri mongo dioe. Paturura o akauntae o shari eto turamo o maothemba goe. Inda ko kanjato ko eki mariwa eto turako o shimariwa to udhitha shoka topurwa uudhite. Shampa wa mana okuturamo o maothemba goe hogora kucha wahara okurungitha ehangano nenge o vendaini o Eagle FM nenge o The Villager. Ronge kitha etumaraka joe eto sindi mpoka kwa shangwa send utume. Shamba watumu etumaraka joe kotari turu wako Eagle FM, imba, lela pei, nenge kwa The Villager. Ouna ishwe ompito yokuturako irongwa mwewe yoko make. Tumina inima weko digital etomalite.com notai urikwa menderero. Opo ukare waguva kukara ndithi. Tudengera nena kono raheta tuyume, mbari nora, ndatu ngoi, hamano, ndatu ndatu, nenge kono raheta tuyume, ndatu mbari, hetatu, 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 ne, no nora yeriari. Lela pei, yimo nena, nena, tai adhika ko App Store, no ko Google Play Store.
Now stepping into the last quarter of today's program, and there is a negative. There is obviously always a negative to green marketing. But green marketing has the following kinds of negatives that take place. Now, the overall exercise, this negative exercise, is known as greenwashing. And greenwashing is where marketers, yes, marketers try to dress up something, make it look as if it's forming part of a specific kind of segmentation exercise or marketing segmentation exercise, but then in actual fact it's not. It doesn't even come close to speaking to the same narrative in the overall marketing drive that you might find somewhere else in other industries, and neither does it convey the same kind of benefits or core values or value propositions. Now, some brands and marketers have attempted to capitalize on consumer demand for environmentally conscious products by taking a green marketing approach to products or services that are not necessarily green nor provide a sustainability component. Now, this entire process, as mentioned, guys, is known as greenwashing. Greenwashing. Some of these popular examples of greenwashing includes employing an unregulated term like green or natural to describe a product, and that's exactly what I just gave you just a while back, a few minutes back, where some businesses would come and explain to you that this is a natural product, but the product is packaged. The product has got plastic, has plastic in it, and some of its ingredients you can see were created in a lab, in a laboratory somewhere, and you wonder, where is the natural component of this? Where is it? Where do you find that? Where can you see the natural aspect in it? Some businesses even have come with the word green, and then you find out that the product's actually green to explain that the product is locally procured, or it's manufactured locally, but it doesn't speak once about a green component. It just means that the product could have been packaged locally. The product could have been sort of like bought from another producer or from another importer, and the overall manufacturing actually took place somewhere else, somewhere differently in the rest of the world. What do I mean by this? For example, if you guys ever saw, and I know there's this massive love for filter coffee, or not filter coffee, these coffees that we buy from baristas, the coffee takeaway establishments here in the capital and around the country. You also find them at the coast and in the north. And you sometimes find them in your favorite restaurant or your favorite takeaway place. These coffees, Namibia cannot produce coffee. There is no coffee plantation. Coffee, just like cocoa or chocolate, is a plant that is found naturally in tropical areas. Tropical areas, I'm talking about Central Africa, Western Africa, and South America. For example, there was some craze on the internet about people that loved Turkish coffee. Just to tell you now, guys, that the Turks or Turkey, they don't have coffee plantations. They import their coffee from Africa or from South America. So if you say natural, how natural is it if you had to import the product? If you say the product has a green label to it, how green is it? If you had to buy it from a bulk supplier that imported it in bulk and you had to package it, what is green about the product? Is your packaging green? Is your packaging environmentally friendly? Is your packaging forming part of the overall environmentally aware or conscious drive between consumers or the consumers that you serve? Is that what you're talking about? Is that the green component? Or is your storage green? Or is there another process that you also factored into your overall marketing drive and your overall marketing philosophy as a business that has a green component to it? And are you actively associating that either very small component of your overall business strategy with an overall mentality approach out there that's talking about active green policies and active green marketing approaches? Is it? Is it scaled up properly? Because that's where the greenwashing takes place. Now, this greenwashing also includes the following negative point, meaning we're using the color green or environmental symbols like leaves or trees on packaging. And this I've also seen, especially on electronics. Look, guys, there is a big debate happening in terms of what products actually save you money and what products are actively produced, with regards to green processes. Because you as a consumer, you and I, we cannot walk into the producer's manufacturing plant or process and ask them, give us proof that that your production method is a green approach. We cannot do that. We don't have access to those facilities. And if you have had access, what would have happened? Those access would have been protected by right of admission reserved, meaning it's private property. And if you trespass on it, you could be legally liable for any kind of police action that might be instigated against you. So, how? How can you ask for proof if all they do is put a sticker on it and say, yes, this thing is environmentally friendly, this product? But your electricity bill does not say that. Your water bill does not say that. As far as you know, you are just bleeding money because the product is absorbing so much water and electricity. You don't know if it's environmentally friendly or not. Second onto that is also the kinds of detergents are also the guys, the products that fall into these categories, because detergents, guys, where do they go? With the water, with your wastewater. The unfortunate scenario is with detergents, some of them are very damaging to the natural environment. And in some cases, some water cannot be treated even. It cannot even be repurposed for further human consumption. It cannot. Because the detergents, the chemicals used, are too abrasive, too poisonous, and just too deadly. But these are used to clean your homes with. They're used to clean your homes with, guys. Another scenario in terms of taking a look at greenwashing exercises that take place is the promotion of misleading studies and statistics to support an eco-marketing message. Now, you've got to watch out for this actively. You really have to watch out. Only specific industries make use of this, but you really have to watch out for this. Because in some cases, if you cannot find the research, nor the studies, nor the statistics, then where did these values come from? Where? This is sometimes what you see happening in most, and especially in most polluting industries and sectors around the world. For example, like the plastic waste one, where they would make use of statistics and figures and studies that you ask, where was it produced? Who produced it? Who studied it? Who certified it? By which organization? Another aspect where greenwashing also takes place is where you got to look out for products or marketing activities that portray cost-cutting measures as motivated by environmental sustainability. Cost-cutting, you've got to watch out. And I gave you the example of a washing machine. Yes, some washing machines will come and tell you, this thing saves you electricity, this thing saves you water. But if you're standing there for 2 hours and this thing is still washing the same bundle of clothing, you're really asking questions. How much water is it saving? Based upon what scale? Where is this exercise indicating me the water going in, the water going out? Is the one less than the other, or is the one more than the other? Electricity the same. I'll give you one good example. As I'm sitting here, I actually switched off the electronic stove for the past year now. I have not been using an electronic stove. I've only been making use of a gas-operated stove. A gas-operated stove. Well, firstly, the stove, you know, was a pretty old one. But this is a stove that has actually saved me on my electricity bill. Electricity bill. So if you're looking to be environmentally conscious, and you yourself as a consumer are trying to get into something, look at certain smaller things that you can try cutting off. Try cutting off. Because if you have to look, for example, at your habits in your house, your fridge, your stove, your geyser are usually the three biggest consumers of electricity, for example. Don't worry about your water. Water is almost like a, what do they call that? A going concern scenario. But don't worry about your water. Worry only about the electricity component, because in some cases you can actually save on electricity. And sometimes look for products or even methods of doing something different. Now, on that note, guys, this does bring us up to the end of today's brand conversation, and as well as also the end of the green marketing discussion. For tomorrow, we're going to get into some healthy talks, especially with the lifestyle of healthy and sustainability mindsets and consumers. We're going to look at that market segment itself and also the associated marketing and messages that come out from it. And I do think that a bunch of people that love selling the Herbalife products and stuff, they might be interested in this as well. because it is some interesting things, but I won't be talking about Herbalife, guys, just signaling to you out there. I'm not going to be talking about that. I'm going to talk about the practice that they make use of. And on that note, stay tuned for the On The Radar team as they are about to make their entrance just after the short ad break, and we'll see each other again.